5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to The New Next, the podcast where tomorrow is today and the future is now. I'm your host, Matthew Jensen, and together we'll embark on a journey through the evolving landscapes of technology, innovation, and the current events shaping our world.
Hi, I'm Matt Jensen, host of The New Next. Besides being a podcast host, I've also owned my own consulting company for the last approximately 8 years. And before that, I worked in energy and oil and gas, financial services, and maritime and marine real estate development. So I've been around a lot of different industries and had a lot of different opportunities to work in consulting, project management, and technology-based businesses through my career. There's been a video that I've thought about for a while, is really talking about what it is like to be a consultant, both the pros and the cons. And no career is perfect, and wherever you are, hopefully you have the opportunity to deliver a lot of value. Over the last decade, I've had the opportunity to deliver well over $1 billion in actual tangible profitability and incremental revenue to my customers. Sometimes you see that these people on YouTube and Instagram driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris and stuff like that. And you have to say that if you're probably being a good management consultant or really delivering tangible value over a long period of time, there's not usually that, sort of financial results, unless you're, founder partner of a large firm, or you're basically selling courses to other people that deliver stuff like that. But it does, sometimes make you question, are you doing the right thing? But management consulting overall is a very rewarding career. It gives you the ability to really work with clients and companies across industries and find ways to deliver tangible value to their business. So I've got some notes here, and I wanted to basically talk about the pros and cons of being a management consultant. So like I said, diverse experience and challenges. People come to you because you're good at solving problems and developing pathway for success in their business, whether that be financial, whether that be related to innovation and looking towards the future, whether that be to, just tactical stuff on how do we stay on top of where we are, or other places such as HR, compliance, etc. You have a exposure generally to, obviously there's specializations, but to various industries and business problems. So I've worked with everybody from energy and oil and gas to technology companies to cybersecurity companies to retail and everywhere in between, manufacturing, etc., logistics. It's been a really fun time collaborating on different problems and different projects with this. It gives you the opportunity to really dive into their business model, meet a lot of people that are specialists in their industry, and develop a strategic plan, whether that be just a plan and advisory aspects, or also delivering tangible results, managing some sort of technology implementation or a new program or etc. It's also high impact work. People are bringing you in because they want you to help transform their business. you know that your work that you're providing, your tangible deliveries and deliverables, have the impact to potentially deliver tangible influence on major decisions and strategies for all these companies, whether they be small or large or enterprise, Fortune 500. You get to see tangible outcomes from your advice and strategies. And even though oftentimes you don't really get to be in there with the thick of it in the team, and you're more in this advisory level, your goal is to make them provide advice in a pathway that allows them to find their true purpose in certain matters and a true pathway forward that delivers the maximum benefit to the company and then also the customers that they serve. There's constantly learning and development opportunities too. If you work at a large corporation like Ernst & Young, for instance, McKinsey & Company, etc., they have internal programs that really are focused on almost a better training program than you would potentially get in college. These large corporations really want to mold you to the McKinsey way or the Ernst & Young way, for instance, and really have you develop as both a personal person, your happiness, quality of life, but also as a basically a human capital asset of the corporation and what you can deliver for their clients going forward. Through this learning and development opportunities, both through formal corporate training, but also on the job with all these diverse experiences and challenges, you get to develop a broad skill set. And this is like analytical, interpersonal and leadership skills. So you get to see a lot. It's not like you're going to a factory each day and applying widgets to a device. Networking opportunities are great. Your job is really be out there, be present, be visible, and build an extensive professional network. So both that you can basically bring business in, but oftentimes you find out that people will just reach out to you and get your advice on certain aspects. You're kind of like a business therapist, you know? And if for a therapist, for instance, if they have a really good relationship with their patient, that patient is gonna come to them to talk about their most important problems and decisions and strategic pathways to how to improve their situation. You also, you know, work with people that can afford to pay you. So typically that's high profile clients and seasoned industry experts, people that value your advice and value a different perspective and are used to being in situations where they bring in a lot of different sources to make sure that they're making the best tactical decisions. And, you know, the last pro is typically it pays very well. There's two aspects to this. One is the value that people derive from your frameworks, your strategy, and your advice that drive these, you know, high-level strategic decisions. They're willing to pay to make sure that they make the best decision possible. Number two is the fact that they can pay more because they're not permanently employing you. So it's kind of, you know, whether it's a short-term report strategy like advice, or you're kind of on like an advisory retainer, or it's a 6 month, a year, 2 year sort of strategy consulting engagement where you're really diving into their business and working on many different aspects. They have always the ability to, or flexibility in that position, and they're willing to pay for the right advice and what they need at the time. So cons, depends where you work and depends on your personality. But oftentimes the high pressure environment and stress is too much for some people. You're often on tight deadlines. People are paying for what they expect are much better results than they can get in-house. So it's important that you always deliver your best foot forward. You know, you need to deliver results, like real tangible results that people can bring in, and also handle complex client issues as they arise. So it's both the ability to deliver tactical business advice, business advisory advice, manage projects as kind of a outside contractor, consultant, and also really have a tactical understanding and mastery of the interpersonal aspects that go into it. Sometimes, and this depends on the firm, if you're looking at the big companies, work-life balance can be an issue. So developing boundaries with yourself, if you're like me as an independent consultant, to ensure that your passion for the job and the project doesn't take precedent on what you have to do to maintain a quality, life balance with family, friends, etc. The project always has to be delivered better than expected, on time, and deliver results. So sometimes this takes long hours, sometimes this takes nights and weekends, and sometimes this takes a lot of travel that can also exhaust you and be disruptive to work-life balance. Especially in recent years, this has been a focus on some organizations, so it's definitely getting better. And there's also a lot of, I'd say, additional benefits that certain companies are wanting to deploy to ensure that they retain the best talent or retain people that are able to have their own management consulting practice on their own and could be competitors. There's also a constant need to be adaptable. If you're not adaptable, then you may struggle in management consulting, unless you're focused on a very narrow issue. People are getting you for your specialty in certain areas, yes, but also ability to apply management consulting frameworks, technology frameworks, and general skills to problems across industries, clients, and problems. No engagement is the same, and there's just a need to be adaptable. And things always change too, whether that be in the current project where either you or the client sees a better way to approach it, and that needs to be figured out in a way to deliver the best tangible results, or that there's some sort of misunderstanding communication issue that needs to be addressed. So you need to be adaptable, and also that really the change and working with different teams and different locations always needs to be considered. A lot of projects in recent years have become more remote, so there's the ability to be adaptable on how that project's delivered to, if you're not actually on site, how to communicate through different communication mechanisms and make sure it's a successful project for both. Your best way to get more work is by doing a great job and delivering results in your client's business. Career uncertainty and volatility is also a con, I would say. So when you're working as a management consultant, that's project-based work. So if you don't have business, then there's no money coming in to support your position. And that's really an important thing, whether you're independent or working a larger company, is to ensure that there's a pipeline of projects to keep you and your team employed over the long term. Economic downturns can also cause this, whether that be in specific industries or on a broader sense. And sometimes for management consultants, an economic downturn can be a boon. If you're, for instance, in the business of restructuring companies. So it just really depends. But there's a lot of uncertainty and volatility when it comes to specific economics of the industry or business. As I said earlier, I've worked in energy and oil and gas, and those industries are highly volatile to energy prices. So if you're, for instance, a management consultant that specializes in growing new business, certain aspects around that are focused on kind of like building the business when it is accelerating in the market, a situation like we had during COVID where oil prices went negative could be a huge disruptive factor on your business and project pipeline. Also a con, I guess, if you look at it this way, is there's intense competition. So both within the firm and bidding with clients, there is a lot of consultants and there's a lot of people. If you're really confident in your skills and confident in the value that you can provide, a lot of people relish this. And for instance, I've run into a lot of people in the consulting industry that love sports and love playing them and are highly competitive. So there's both that competitive aspect in the business in competition with other consultants within a firm, but also in the industry at home or at a whole. So, you know, your goal, like in investment banking too, is to be at the top of the leaderboard, both in delivering tangible value to your clients, but also delivering revenue and profitability to your firm, profitable engagements. There's a constant pressure to perform at high level, both internally and externally, whether that's meeting the internal grading systems that ensure promotions and recognition, whether that be financial or otherwise, or externally to basically build your business and win more work. You know, there's an expectation that you're always gonna be on the game, and you should. So it's not an industry if you want to basically slide under the radar. You should be focused on being your best. And for people that really want to be their best and put their best foot forward and really deliver that value with their clients too, it's a big deal. I'd say another con too is sometimes you could say it as imposter syndrome. You know, oftentimes you're coming up with a strategy, delivering a strategy, talking about the strategy that essentially drives eventual action in the business. And you don't always have your hands in the pie, so to speak, where you're not on the ground like selling, you're not on the ground implementing the changes in business or logistics operations. You're not the one that's really getting their hands dirty and doing the work. You may be the people that get the team together, get people aligned, get people inspired, deliver the plan, manage the implementation, but in most cases, you still are an outsider of the company. And it's, you know, that's also an advantage because you get to see so many different things and so many different companies, so many different functions that you might not if you were actually at a company full time. But it's also kind of a downside because you've got your team that you work with in consulting engagements, but sometimes there's something to be desired with wanting to build for the long term. So, you know, some people love it. Some people love both aspects, being part of a team or being kind of a part of a consulting team where that team always changes. You know, both of them have their benefits and both of them have their negatives, like everything. It just really, you know, comes down to what you want out of your position and what sort of purpose that you find in your work. So to recap, pros and cons. Pros: diverse experiences, challenges. It's high impact work. 3, the learning and developing opportunities, whether that be through your company or just through working in a lot of different experiences. 4, networking opportunities to really become an influencer in a lot of different companies. And 5, you know, getting paid more than you would likely all otherwise as a full-time employee. Cons: the high pressure and stress. 2, work-life balance challenges, sometimes depending on the company. 3, the constant need to be adaptable, which also could be a pro or a con depending on your personality. 4, career uncertainty and volatility. You know, this is dependent also on a lot of different factors. 5, intense competition, which, like we said on these other potential cons, that could be a pro or a con. And 6 is, you know, sometimes having that longing for being a part of a single team and the identity that goes with it over a long period. So it's, it wouldn't be a rewarding experience if I didn't do it. So I've had the opportunity to work with many people from different roles, different industries over my career. And as someone that's, I'd say, an extrovert, I really enjoy the fact that I get to dive so deeply into so many different businesses and get to learn more about different relationships, different people, what drives them, and really try to find solutions that maximize the value in their business. It's probably, you know, a mindset too that's experienced by entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs or people that are, I'd say, high impact performers in different companies. So I, you know, even though you're a consultant and a successful one, it doesn't mean that you couldn't thrive in many different roles and positions, whether that be management to high impact performer at a company. So it just really, it's hard to really say whether or not this is good or not for you. But if you're, I'd say the one thing is, if you want to skate by and just get a paycheck, management consulting is not for you. So we've talked a lot about these pros and cons, and I hope if you're considering management consulting as a career that you weigh these out and, you know, really think hard about what sort of factors that you want to drive your career going forward. If you have any sort of advice or comments, would love to hear that in the comments. And this is probably my first video on the new Next about this sort of topic, but perhaps I'll start sharing more based on the feedback for this. And if anybody else has anything to add, would love to hear that. I'm sure I missed something, but appreciate you watching.
And that wraps up another episode here at The New Next, where the future isn't just something we predict, it's something we're creating together. But the conversation doesn't end here. We want to hear your thoughts, your ideas, and your visions for what comes next. Head over to MatthewADJensen.com to share your feedback on today's episode. Your insights not only fuel our discussion, but also help shape future episodes of The New Next. And while you're there, take a moment to explore how Matthew Jensen can help guide you through the intricate world of strategy and digital transformation. Whether you're looking to innovate, transform, or just stay ahead of the curve, let us help turn your challenges into opportunities. Before you move on to your next podcast or dive back into your day, take a moment to rate us. Your ratings help us reach more like-minded innovators and thinkers, expanding our community of future makers. Whether you're a tech enthusiast, a forward thinker, or just curious about the world's next chapter, thank you for joining us on this journey. Remember, the future isn't just something to be predicted. It's something we are actively shaping with every discussion, every idea, and every action. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible. Let's explore the future together. This is The New Next.